Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. From the 21st chapter of John, we will read verses 1 through 19. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1547. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered Jesus, "No." And Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to the disciples, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to Simon Peter the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This Jesus spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when Jesus had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. I listened to Liminality at a percussion concert. I was at my grandson's concert on the campus of Kennesaw State University, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Before I had a grandson into music, the word percussion meant one thing to me: drum. Percussion is a musical instrument that sounded by being struck or scraped or shook. There are over 500 instruments, with more being created. They include such things as drums, xylophones, triangles, cymbals, metal bowls, bells, glass goblets. The piano is both a percussion and a string instrument. The strings are sounded by being struck by a hammer. Liminality is a good name for a percussion piece. And not only am I new to musical instruments, I'm relatively new to the word liminality, or liminal. A few years ago, I read Susan Beaumont's book entitled How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going, Leading in a Liminal Season. I was sure that I wasn't leading well. I didn't even know what the word liminal meant. I discovered that the word liminal comes from the Latin word limen, meaning threshold. It's a season of being between two states or change stages. It's a period of change. You are neither fully in the old place or identity, nor fully in the new. Physical or tangible liminal spaces are places like an airport or a train or a bus station, waiting rooms or long hallways. As school is drawing to a close, students, especially those that are graduating, are in somewhat of a liminal space. They're finishing up things with classmates and teachers and activities, so there's this sense of this is over, but they haven't crossed over into the new, which will be different for each person. It is a threshold of life. We all have them throughout periods of our lives. Thresholds are meant to be crossed. Sometimes I get to go over and let my son's family dogs out after a night of being in the laundry room. Bear, who's solid black, and then Tebow, black and white. They're so excited, they're jumping and twirling and dancing on two legs as we greet one another. When I open the door that leads to the deck, they leap over. These small dogs with curly hair are like little lambs going out to pasture in the spring. They're open to all the possibilities of life. The excitement is enhanced because they know our routine. They will try to calm themselves somewhat as I'll try with all their gymnastics to put a leash on each one. And yes, we're going for a walk throughout the neighborhood. There'll be those familiar scent spots and then the possibilities of never before. Well, on Easter Sunday, there was a family gathering at my son Michael's home. And as we went back and forth on the inside into the deck, the door was left open. Sitting on the deck, I noticed that Tebow was stretched out across the threshold. His head and front quarters were on the deck, while his tail and back quarters were inside. He was inside and outside. Peter was in a liminal season. He was stuck on the threshold. Thresholds are meant to be crossed. Liminal has three phases. There's a separation, and then there's transition, and then incorporation. There was certainly separation. Peter had been a part of Jesus' nearly three-year ministry. Jesus had called Peter to leave his livelihood of fishing for fish and to fish for people, connect with people to bring them the good news of God. To Peter's credit, he walked away from his fishing boat. Peter listened to Jesus' teachings. He walked long, dusty roads. He lay where he had no place to lay his head. He ate raw grain from wheat fields, and he left his family and home. Peter witnessed miracles, demons cast out of people, diseases healed, feeding thousands with two fish and five loaves. Sinners repented, and the dead were brought back to life. Peter had his high moments where he walked on water, where he knew without a doubt that Jesus was the Christ. He was shown a new way to live by forgiving others. He heard the stunning news that Jesus would use him, fisherman Peter, to build the kingdom of God. Peter had his low moments when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink, when he tried to prevent Jesus from washing his feet, when he fell asleep during prayer meetings, when he cried out in fear during the storm on the sea, "Don't you care, Lord, that we are perishing?" Perhaps his deepest regret was denying knowing his Lord. After boldly proclaiming to Jesus, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not," Peter denied knowing Jesus three times, and Jesus looked at Peter. Oh yes, the period of separation came. Jesus was arrested, tried, sentenced, hung on a cross, and buried in a tomb. Then things became very liminal. Uncertain, times were ambiguous. Peter was definitely disoriented. Women rushed from the tomb to say that the tomb was empty, and angels said, "Jesus is risen, he's alive." Peter rushed out to find that the linen cloths were there, but Jesus' body was not. Mary Magdalene said that she saw the Lord. Two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus said that Jesus explained scripture to them and broke bread with them. Then Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Peter was there. He saw Jesus' wounded hands, his feet, and his side. He saw Jesus eat bread. Jesus is alive. Jesus said that he was sending them out to do the work of the Father just as he. How do you do that? Jesus said that they would receive power. When? Was it safe to come out of hiding? What about what he had done, denying Jesus? Would there be punishment? If not punishment, certainly consequences. Peter could not stay huddled in that room with Thomas and Nathaniel, James and John, and the other two. A man can only remain in limbo for so long. Suddenly Peter said, "I'm going fishing." His buddies all said, "We are going with you." What drove him to the sea? Was it that endless praying or the round and round discussions about Jesus' return? Was it simply a diversion? Or was there more to it? Was it an attempt to return to former days, days where you knew what the days held? Kiss your wife goodbye, join your brother and fishing partners at the seaside, launch your boat, cast out your net, and hopefully pull in a full catch. Did he wonder, how will I feed my family? They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus called to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." Jesus said, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Simon Peter grabbed his outer garment, which he had removed while fishing, and he put it on, and he plunged into the sea. And the others came in the little boat. They were dragging the net with fish. And they saw a fire of coals with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter rushed back and dragged the net to land. It was full of fish. The fish were, they counted them, 153 large fish. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said, "Come and eat breakfast." Breakfast by the sea with Jesus. Fish gathered by Jesus and fish gathered by the disciples with the help of Jesus. None of them asked, "Who are you?" They knew by this time it was the Lord. This was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because Jesus asked the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." We can't help but note that Peter denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loved him. The Life Application Study Bible, the New Living Translation, notes that in this beach scene, Jesus led Peter through an experience that would remove the cloud of his denial. Peter had denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. When Peter answered yes, Jesus told him to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. It's one thing to say that you love Jesus, but the real test is the willingness to serve him. Peter had repented, and here Jesus was asking him to commit his life. Peter changed when he finally realized who Jesus was. His occupation changed from fisherman to evangelist. His identity changed from being erratic to rock, and his relationship to Jesus changed. He was forgiven, and he finally understood the significance of Jesus' words about Jesus' death and his resurrection. The experience is even more meaningful when we consider that biblical scholarship has led us to understand that the word translated love was two different words in the Greek. The first time Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" he used the Greek word agape. It's a love of choice with sacrifice. I choose to love you and do for you without gain for myself. Peter responded with a Greek word, philia. It signifies affection or brotherly or sisterly love. The second time, Jesus again used the word agape and Peter again used the word philia. The third time, Jesus used the word philia. Jesus was asking, "Are you my friend?" Peter responded, "Jesus, you know all things." Peter knew that Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. Jesus knew Peter's past, but he was willing to step over the threshold into the new world. He was calling Peter to do that. It's a new world of possibilities created by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a life of forgiveness for our sins, for our mistakes, our moral failures, for our denials, for our doubts and weaknesses. It's a life of love and the call to serve by tending and caring for Jesus' flock. The only way to care for others is through the power of the love of God. Without love, agape love, a life of sacrifice, it becomes a burden. But with love, it's a blessing. This doesn't mean that it will be easy. In our scripture reading today, Jesus goes on to tell Peter that when he was younger, Peter could walk and go as he wished. He could make a plan. He could follow through on it. It will not be so, as he will age in his love and service to Jesus. His hands will be bound and will be carried where he does not wish. The author of the book of John interprets this to be Jesus telling Simon Peter that Peter will not be able to choose his last days on earth, but that his death will glorify God. Jesus looked at Peter and said to him, "Follow me." Jesus calls us all to love him, to follow, and to serve. When following calls us to cross thresholds into new places with new possibilities, let us leap over with a trust in God that God goes ahead to prepare our way and that it will bring glory to God. Let us pray. Loving Shepherd, help us to love, follow, and take care of your flock. In Jesus' name, amen.